Good morning. Welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's your host for the next half hour or so, Gina Crash. And this morning, it's all about Susan G. Komen, Maryland. And Susan G. Komen is the world's largest nonprofit breast cancer organization working to save lives and end breast cancer forever. And Komen, Maryland is a top local affiliate in the Komen Network and is helping fund innovative research discoveries and support people facing breast cancer and breast cancer survivors across the state. And Komen, Maryland's largest fundraising event, the Maryland More Than Pink Walk, is being held virtually today, Sunday, October 11th. So we're very happy to introduce you to our guest this morning, Gretchen Durowitz. I hope I got that right. Did I, Gretchen?
Yes, that's fine.
And you are the community health manager with Susan G. Komen, Maryland. And it's so nice to have you on the show. If anybody, normally this is like race morning and we're heading out to you know, the Hunt Valley for many years, and then you were downtown, and then so normally we would be doing this with Kim Schmolowitz, who was your marketing and communications director, right, for many years. But she is starting an exciting new role. And what is that exactly?
Yes, that's right. Well, first of all, we miss Kim terribly. She was with Komen, Maryland for about 10 years, but she has just transitioned her role to a communications role with Susan G. Komen headquarters. So we say she's moved up into the club level.
Yes.
So she's still with Komen, so we're really proud of her.
That's great, for sure. We are too. And you know, we're in the general admission seats, but we are still working hard. And Columbia was the other race location, my mind escaped me. But for those that aren't familiar as much with you, Gretchen, your job as community health manager, what does that mean exactly with Komen, Maryland, and how long have you been doing that particular role?
Yes, so I've been with Komen for just 2 years, and I came from the American Cancer Society. Before that, I spent about 18 years there doing what I'm doing now, which is working with area hospitals, schools, universities, and workplaces to promote education and awareness, to help breast cancer survivors and their families, newly diagnosed breast cancer patients, with critical resources that help them through their breast cancer journey.
That's awesome. And later on, we're going to talk about what makes Komen, Maryland different or unique. And at that time, maybe we can also talk about the difference between the American Cancer Society and Komen, Maryland, because those are two unique entities, even though we're all kind of in the same fight together, right?
Yes, I guess indeed.
Absolutely. So, and this is also really timely, which is, you know, why today, you know, with your Maryland More Than Pink Walk virtually this year, October being National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, this is really important for awareness. We really, really want to thank you again for joining us. And you and I were talking off the air before we got started, and to really get started with breast cancer in general and what it is. I know that sounds very general, but really it's very important, I think, for those that aren't aware of exactly what that is, what it looks like, what we need to look out for, who it impacts, that sort of thing. So maybe that's a good place to start.
Absolutely, because one of our greatest focus is on education and educating individuals about what breast cancer is, and when it's detected, where do you go for resources? So if you don't have access to resources, you know, your quality of life or your survival rates may change drastically. So a little bit about breast cancer. Breast cancer is a type of cancer where cells in the breast tissue divide. They grow without normal control. So it's a widespread and random disease. It strikes women and men of all ages and races, and I want to focus on both women and men are diagnosed with breast cancer. Men, about 1% of the population. It is the most prevalent cancer in the world today, and about 1.3 million people are diagnosed annually. Interestingly enough, though, the exact cause of the disease is unknown, and at this time, there is no cure. So we are working every day for that cure, for transformations in, you know, scientific discoveries, all for the cure. But I do want to mention there's hope. And thanks to heightened awareness, early detection through screening, improved treatment methods, and increased access to breast cancer services, people have a greater chance of survival more than ever before. And just a few things that are important to mention is that 1 in 8 women in the United States will get breast cancer in her lifetime. Right now, there are 41,000 women in the United States who will die from breast cancer. And that's why we're working every day, all day in the community, to raise awareness around breast cancer. 41,000 people in the United States will die from breast cancer this year. And interestingly, Maryland has the sixth highest breast cancer death rate in the nation. And so, you know, we're one of those states that we need to look at this very seriously. We need to make sure that we're working collaboratively with all of our partners to educate the community about, you know, what are the risk factors? Where do I go to be diagnosed? What are the things that I need to be doing to take care of myself? If I am diagnosed, what are my treatment options? So all of those factors are extremely important.
And why have you learned that Maryland is so high, being the sixth highest breast cancer death rate in the nation? Is pretty staggering for such a state with so many world-class facilities and things you would think, oh, you know, they're fine. But that's a pretty staggering number. Why do you suppose that is? Have you learned anything in the research process of that, like why that is?
Absolutely. We have learned that. So in Baltimore City in particular, we have a great number of African-American women, and we have learned that Black women are nearly 40% more likely to die of breast cancer. And so we have researched this, and, you know, we talk about what are the reasons for the significantly higher disparity or greater disparity among Black women. And so our research shows that Black women in the United States are more likely than any other racial group to die from breast cancer. And so what our research has provided for us is that there are many possible reasons for the differences in survival rates. And a few of these are differences in genetics. There's a prevalence of risk factors, including being overweight and obese. There are barriers to quality healthcare access, such as not having health insurance. And we'll talk a little bit about this if we have time, and an initiative that we have broken ground on right here in Maryland. Health behaviors, including not completing breast cancer treatment. And again, this has a lot to do with access to healthcare and whether women are insured, because if you have to compete between paying your electric bill and completing treatment, most cases, you know, what are women going to do? You know, especially if they're feeding their family and they need heat, and they're going to pay their electricity bill and they're going to forego some of their treatments, which
right.
is awful.
That's a tough choice that nobody should have to make that choice, you know, between the two. It's terrible.
Absolutely terrible choice. We also have a later stage of breast cancer at diagnosis for African-American women. And then we just, you know, in terms of knowing all this, we also recommend that women know their family history to better understand their risk of developing breast cancer. So in addition to being familiar with your breasts and doing breast self-exams and, you know, making sure that you are aware of your body, because only you can detect a small, even if it's a small change, if it's a lump you feel, or if there's a change in just looking at your breast, you will know that better than anyone else, which may signal a visit to your doctor.
Mm-hmm. Which is always a good place to start. And earlier in the pandemic, people were asking, like, you know, is it okay to go back and get a mammogram, you know, once healthcare facilities were opening up more broadly to welcome back, you know, a certain amount of virtual visits, but also, you know, welcoming people back with using those safety protocols, of course. But, you know, did you find people asking you, like, is it okay to get a mammogram or should I wait? Or, you know, because it's still such a critical thing to do every year over 40. Is that still the recommendation?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I was receiving more calls and more emails about Komen's recommendation. So what happened was that when the pandemic hit, many of the mammography centers needed to take a step back and assess how they needed to adjust. They took some time, and Komen made the decision to ask women to delay their annual screening unless it was an emergency. And at first, I think that messaging was rather, you know, radical. And
yeah.
So We had a lot of questions come in, I think that what we wanted to ensure was that because women who, let's say women who are annually screened, the most women who called me said, well, I go, you know, every March. So, you know, if I put it off and, you know, they were getting very anxious about it. So what happened was that most mammography centers were saying, you know, let's take a step back, let's assess, let's make sure that we have adhered to the social distancing, to make sure that our facilities are up to par. There were a lot of mandates that had to be followed. And if you can put it off for just a few months, so that if there are emergencies, that we get those women in first and address mm-hmm. those emergencies. And I also want to mention that, you know, women who have breast cancer, their immune system is already compromised. So during this pandemic, they needed to be extremely vigilant. However, I also received a lot of calls about people needing to connect, right?
Yeah.
Human interaction is vital. It's vital, especially for breast cancer patients, because it's a way to receive comfort. It is a way to have camaraderie. The emotional and psychosocial support that is really critical during that time. So what was the messaging? You know, stay in place, no social, you know, social distancing, don't get in, you know, don't get together with people. And I think that all of that, especially the isolation, it was very worrisome.
Because you already, as a breast cancer patient, you hear you already feel isolated going through that without a support system, which is why we're so grateful that Komen Maryland is here for people who are going through that. So yeah, I could totally see that where you really, it would be even worse, you know?
Yes, isolation can be debilitating. And so, you know, we really needed to make sure that we were on top of that. And by saying, can you hold off, you know, for just a little while? And as soon as it's possible to reopen and make sure that, you know, we can pick up the appointments, you know, we would let everyone know. And that happened within, let's see, we made the decision in mid-March. And I think by, let's say it was about the end of May that we could resume, which was very good. And I think the mammography centers and the hospitals acted very quickly.
That's awesome. I actually was one of those people that called you guys. I called Kim, actually. And I was like, because I was like, I'm thinking, who can I ask? And I'm like, hello, we have this great relationship with Komen Maryland. I should totally ask them because you're always there for people. So I can only imagine if you get that breast cancer diagnosis, how much better you feel when you know there's an organization like Komen Maryland that's going to help you get through it.
Absolutely.
And that being said, there are many breast cancer organizations out there, but a good question now might be to find out what really makes Komen different and unique.
Yeah, so we talk about the bold goal that we have. And Komen's bold goal originated as an evolution from many, many years of being in the community, focusing so much on research. And many times we ask ourselves, our colleagues, does everyone understand what it is that Komen does? And we realized that we had to focus more on, you know, what are we doing with the funding? We have these wonderful walks and we have an annual bike ride. And, you know, what do we do with funding for women who need us the most? So in 2017, Komen earmarked nearly $33 million in new research funding to support our bold goal of cutting breast cancer mortality in half by 2025. And so you can imagine, since 1993, you know, Komen has contributed more than, well, it's been more than $41 million to local breast health programs and national research, including there's, I think there's 9 active research grants right now active in Maryland at institutions like the University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins. And so what we do now is we attack breast cancer from all sides. We're recognized as the groundbreaking leader. Komen is the only organization with more than 3 decades of experience in research, community impact, and advocacy. And if you'd like me to demonstrate a little bit more about how we do that and how we're going to continue to do that, that's through our 4 pillars. and our 4 pillars are through research, care, community, and action. And certainly research speaks for itself. Better detection, prevention, and treating breast cancers, especially deadly metastatic breast cancers. In care, we improve access to care, to quality breast cancer services by funding patient navigators. We provide underserved patients with low or no cost screening, diagnosis, and treatment. In the community, we eliminate disparities in breast cancer care and outcomes by addressing gaps in access and quality. And then through action, we advocate for research funding and access to affordable, high-quality breast cancer health and cancer care services. So that's when we, you know, go to the Hill and we talk with all of our policymakers, and we advocate for laws that will provide breast cancer patients and their family with the best quality care.
Well, those pillars really do help define all that you do, and I'm understanding as you're saying why it became more than pink, because I think some people's early involvement with COMA, they're like, oh, they're the pink, you know, they get the pink, and you're like, well, you're so much more than that. That's still important, and that's still recognizable as your one of your, you know, sort of images, I guess, but it's so much more than that. And thank you for breaking that down, because I don't think everybody realizes all of those all-encompassing things that you do that all help for that ultimate bold goal. And how are we doing here in 2020, which has certainly been a tough year for everybody, as 2025 is when you're getting that bold goal resolution. How are we doing at getting there? Is it looking like, it sounds positive to me. It sounds like you have a lot of good research grants and things in the pipeline that are really going to help you get there.
I'm so glad you asked. Absolutely. So Komen's commitment to supporting life-saving research has never been stronger. You know, in the 33 years of funding research to find causes and cures of breast cancer, Komen continues its important new focus on research that will speed the translation of discoveries into reductions in breast cancer mortality and or in incidence within the next decade. And that really speaks to our bold goal. It also addresses disparities in breast cancers across the population. And this is what we were talking about earlier about the African-American community. You know, if there is a barrier associated with access to care, that right there is going to significantly drop the, not only the quality of life, but significantly decrease survival rates. So one of the most exciting and timely research is in the development of new treatments for metastatic breast cancer that are under study. And so most of these are drug therapies. Metastatic breast cancer is when cancer has gone beyond the local area and has metastasized or has enveloped the entire body. And so we're very proud that there are many clinical trials that offer the chance to try a new treatment and possibly benefit from it. So learning whether a new drug is better than a standard treatment can help individuals, and clinical trials are free. And we do many of these clinical trials per year. I know that there is a lot of information that is, you know, where do you get the information? Where do you get the quality information about clinical trials? And so that can be found right on our website, or you can certainly call our local number, and I know we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through and how to access us. There's also, we're really, really proud about this, there's also, as a result of research into the disparities of breast cancer mortality among African-American women, is what we have developed as our African-American Health Equities Initiative. And so our goal is to reduce African-American breast cancer disparities by 25% in 5 years, starting in 10 targeted communities. And fortunately, one of those communities is Baltimore City.
Excellent.
Yes. And what we've found is that, you know, in terms of African-American breast cancers, to look at, you know, why are there such strong disparities? Well, there are a few reasons. There are differences in biology. There is a difference in when an African-American woman is diagnosed, and maybe she's diagnosed at a later stage. When you're diagnosed at a later stage, you have less treatment options. So we are working with and collaborating with a lot of our area partners, hospitals, universities, federally qualified health centers, to address these access to care barriers so that we can come together as a community. We embrace this as a community. It takes all of us working together to save lives from breast cancer. It takes funding for research. And this is one of the areas that our research shows we need to look at this, and we need to be creative in identifying and developing ways to collaborate together. We have a lot of resources, but we don't have all the resources. So this is where collaborative efforts really work.
That's so important. And you mentioned your website. And just so people can know what your website is to find out all this important information, it is comanmd.org. And there's a link on there, too, to your social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, things like that. And again, we're talking to Gretchen Durowitz, who's the community health manager of Susan G. Komen, Maryland. And I know for a fact, Gretchen, that breast cancer does not stop for the pandemic. So tell us how Susan G. Komen, Maryland has continue to engage virtually with the breast cancer community during the pandemic. That's so important.
Absolutely. So when the pandemic first hit, we sat around as a group and said, okay, we need to be a little more creative here, and we need to develop some sort of connection between us and the outside world and make sure that we continue to engage breast cancer survivors, newly diagnosed breast cancer patients, and their family. So we developed something that was really unique, and it's called Healthy at Home. Healthy at Home is a web-based program that is available through Facebook. It's also recorded on our website. So if you don't have Facebook, you can go back to our website and view it at a later point. But it is a 30-minute series, which is focused on educational and awareness of healthy eating, the latest updates on mammography, community initiatives. We have speakers that talk about advocacy and how to talk to your local legislators. We provide 30-minute sessions on yoga. We have a few fitness businesses that have come forth to say, hey, I'll do a 25-minute segment on fitness. And so that is one way that we thought, in the middle of this pandemic, when we all of us have to stay in place, how do we get out to the community? How do we embrace the community with resources that they would normally just, see us at a health fair, or they would see us, providing a program at a local hospital? And so that's one way that we have gotten in front of individuals, and we've gotten a lot of feedback, and we've been able to engage many, many individuals. And we have, done it in a very dynamic series. So just not on healthy eating, but on a variety of topics that, people can relate to.
Okay, great. And we have less than only just a few minutes left, so I want to make sure people can find out how they can participate in the virtual walk today and what it means to walk where you are, because I know your fundraising has been impacted so much by COVID, but this is a great day for people to get involved with the virtual Maryland More Than Pink Walk. Please tell us how to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Today is a great day. We've been doing this since 1982. We first started in Rashfield, and then, as you said, Gina, we moved out to Hunt Valley, and now we're in Columbia. We learned back in May that we needed to make a decision. So as an organization dedicated to saving lives, it was so important to protect the health of our participants, many of whom are breast cancer survivors or are currently in treatment for the disease. So therefore, we decided to leverage technology this year to ensure that we can walk in place. We can walk anywhere you are. So if we can't be together, because breast cancer is not canceled, so we're not going to cancel raising funds that will go toward research and community intervention programs, we decided to do something virtual. Our sort of slogan is walk where you are. And that means that you can walk in your neighborhood. You can walk along with a friend. You can walk on your treadmill or your Peloton. You can do anything that you'd like with your community. So you're still engaging in our walk, but you're doing it from where you are.
And can you do fundraising, that sort of thing? Are you encouraging people to, can they still do that? And then should they post those photos of them, you know, walking where they are on social media? Or does that also help you as well with your cause?
That's exactly what we're going, you know, we hope it will happen. So as people are walking today, you can go to our CommonMD.org, and you can post your photos of walking. You can also go to Facebook. You can go to Twitter. You can go to LinkedIn. You can go to Instagram and post all of your photos celebrating our walk and celebrating, you know, obviously the continuous movement in the cure for breast cancer. And I also want to mention that if you want to continue fundraising and you know, if you haven't signed up yet, you can still sign up today. And that is again at CommonMD.org. And also I wanted to make sure that you had our phone number for those that need to connect with us today or anytime in the future, which is 410-893-8990, and that will bring you right into Comen, Maryland.
That's so, so important. And you guys are still in the Hunt Valley area, right?
Yes, we are.
Awesome. We and are. Is there a special hashtag today people should use for the Comen, Maryland More Than Pink Walk that's being held virtually today?
Hashtag walk where you are.
I love that. So that totally explains what we were just talking about. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gretchen Durowitz, for joining us. Again, we've been talking to the community health manager for Susan G. Comen, Maryland. Thanks for all that you're doing and for enlightening us on where you are in COVID and where you're going and your Comen bold goal. And we're happy to help you get closer to that in 2025. Thank you so much for your expertise.
And thank you, Gina. You've always been a wonderful partner of ours for several years, and we can't thank you enough. We're truly grateful.
Oh, my gosh. Giving you a virtual hug. We really appreciate you guys, and we appreciate you all for listening today. This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore.